one having drunk old wine immediately desires new, for he says the old is better.
That kind of throws a monkey wrench into the whole thing, doesn't it? Why does Jesus say that? Nobody wants the new. We like the old better. I think the reason...
Aged wine is better than...
Age? Well, I don't know a lot about wine, but I did some research in wine, and that's not necessarily true. Some wines, they say, are better when they're new, so that... But usually what Fanny said is what I would have thought. You hear that. But the reason Jesus is saying this is that I think sometimes we get comfortable where we're at. We get comfortable with the things we're doing. We become content with the things we're familiar with, don't we? New jobs. I said new jobs could be kind of exciting because you're learning new, but new jobs are sometimes kind of scary, aren't they? Chris, you just... Now, Chris went from one job doing the same thing at another job, and probably some customers are the same, but even when you're doing the same thing and you switch jobs, people are different. You knew how people respond to you and how they do things, so you got to learn all that over again. So sometimes new jobs can be scary. Have fun at your reunion, Brubakers. I think it's a reunion. Routines can be comforting. Does anybody here like to have a cup of coffee every morning? Some people just can't go through the day without that cup of coffee. Sometimes in church we like to sit at the same table because we're familiar with the people that also sit at that table. Yes, I saw your hand, Becky. We get familiar and we get comfort out of our routines in life. And we even get our routines at work where we do things in a certain order sometimes. And how does it feel when that's disrupted? When a distraction comes along or something that creates havoc? This week at work, it was kind of a stressful time, as much stress as I can get, I guess, because our phone lines weren't working. And being on the phone about 3 hours with Windstream was getting kind of old. I think I might have talked to about 10 different people and explained the problem 10 different times. And it didn't seem like they could get it corrected. But when things like that happen that are not in our normal routine, and when we get distracted, we don't really like that, do we? When God asks us to do something new, maybe he's asking you personally, maybe he's asking us as a body. But when he asks us to do something new, it's not always easy. It might seem that it's too difficult. I don't know. One of the things he asked us to do that we kind of got involved in a ministry of prophecy. And when you talk about ministry of prophecy, it's like, ooh, what is that? That sounds, you know, it sounds strange and new and nobody understands it maybe. But basically what we're doing is we're going to minister to people. We're going to encourage people. And that doesn't seem too new, does it? When you talk about what God wants us to be doing. And so there's times like that when God does something a little different and it's a little uncomfortable. Maybe he asks you to go visit a neighbor who you really don't know very well at all. And it's kind of nervous because you don't know what you're going to say or how they're going to respond or if you ask to pray for them, are they going to let me? Or, you know, there's just a little apprehension there. It's not always easy. And I think we tend to avoid new things because maybe they're a little scary. Maybe it doesn't make sense in our minds that, well, why are you doing that, God? That makes no sense at all. Why should I do that? Or maybe it's just too difficult. And so we decide we aren't going to do that. Are we in need as a church? Now I'm talking about, let's talk about the church in the United States, in our country. Are we in need as a church of Jesus Christ of a new work, of God doing things in a different way? You know, in Shiloh, if you look at the book of Judges, the youth could tell you this, I hope. But you remember what we talked about in Judges? What did we call that? It's a cycle that you go over and over and over again in Judges. Seth? Sin cycle. There's a cycle of sin that the people of Israel went through. And the cycle was that they would serve the Lord. They loved the Lord. And then things would get really good for them. and they would start falling away, and literally they would start worshiping other gods. You know, maybe they intermarried with some of the people around them, but they had idols in their homes, and they were worshiping people other than God himself. And so then God, out of his great love for them, would bring hardship on them, and things would get difficult, and there would usually be a country that would invade Israel or the people and create hardships. And then they would cry out to God, and then God would raise up someone to deliver them, which was one of the judges. Some of the judges were Ehud, Gideon, Samson, Barak, and Deborah. Do you remember some of those names? They were people that God raised up. And then Israel would get back to serving God again. And then a whole cycle would start over again. And it goes over and over and over again in Judges. The downfall of God's people always started with adultery. And adultery back in that time was what I said, it was always worshiping other gods or having a false god or an image or something that they would actually worship. What is it for us in the church today? Is it the same type of adultery? Some churches might say that there's more ways we can get to God other than Jesus Christ. That would probably be an adultery similar to what they experienced back in Israel in the time of the judges. But I think today a lot of our adulteries, especially in this country, could be success, could be materialism, could be worldliness. And often we measure how successful we are by, well, what kind of career do you have? You know, how many doctorates do you have in front of your name? How big's your paycheck? How big is your house? How nice a car do you drive? Maybe for the church, it is how large is your building? How nice is your building? How much money do you give to missions? How many programs do we have going on in the community? How big's our auditorium? How many people can we hold? How many members do we have? Those are some of the things I think that churches in this country might be classified as adultery if that becomes more important than Jesus Christ. So this morning, how are we doing here at New Beginnings? Are we content with where we're at now? Are we content with the things we're doing? Now, I don't know, it seems like the last couple of months the Lord's been impressing upon my heart that we're a little too content here. I don't know if anybody else senses that. But maybe we're a little bit too comfortable. Some of us who've been here from the beginning, if we look back to when we first came, how we felt and how we feel now, I think that's maybe where a little bit of that's coming from. But I think that the Holy Spirit's impressing that upon me. Are we comfortable with the way things are going right now? Would we be willing to give up some of the things we like if it meant that God could do greater things through us? Would you be willing to give up what you're content with if God could do something new and better? And remember, the new doesn't always seem better when you first start out, does it? Are we stuck in a rut? Or are we still moving forward? I had to think about was it maybe 3 or 4 years ago, we did a series of messages about being stuck in a rut. I don't know if anybody remembers that. When Chickies planted this church here, it had been over 100 years since Chickies planted a church, and so nobody was alive anymore that was involved in that, so we had no idea how to plant a church. And I think as elders, when we started, we had no idea, well, how do we set up a church? How should we do things? And so we tried to follow the pattern of the first church in Acts as close as we could. And we may not have done a real good job at that, but that was our goal, to try to follow that pattern a little bit. And so I had to think about the church at Pentecost. Some of the things about the church at Pentecost that made it really neat is that, remember when they were all speaking in different languages, everybody could understand their own language? It was a church of different nationalities, I believe. It was a church that had a great love for one another. They were selling possessions so that they could provide for the needs of everybody in the congregation. It was a church that was rapidly growing, but they loved to praise the Lord, it said. They just loved to get together and praise the Lord. Do we really love just to get together this morning and praise Him? I thought it was really good this morning. I love to do that. And it's sometimes I don't like to sing. I like to just sit and listen. And that ministers to me just as much as whether I'm singing or not. But it's not what we're saying or what we're doing. It's that we're praising God. No matter how you do that, just praise Him. It's awesome. And I think the main ministry of the early church was telling others about Jesus Christ. You know, that first sermon that Peter preached and says 3,000 were saved, I think one of the key messages of that sermon was, he said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. That's the message that God wants us to get out to others. That should be our main focus and goal, whether we're at work, whether we're at church, wherever we are. I want to conclude, I guess, with just a couple things that maybe will help us as you think about these things. Number one is that we shouldn't stubbornly hold on to the old. Now, that's a tough one for me because those who really know me, I'm kind of a traditionalist. And I like things to stay the way... Charis is laughing. I like things to stay the way they always were, you know, and do things in a certain way. You know, I try to follow Scripture. But change is not an easy thing for me. But sometimes we hold on too hard to the old, and we need to let go of some of that so God can do new things. Don't hold on to things that are not drawing you closer to God. So if you're debating if God's asking you to do something different and you're going to have to give something up, well, you can ask, well, is this really of God? Is it something that I'm doing now? Is it drawing me closer to God? You know, and if it's lost its luster, if it's not drawing you to God like it did when you first started doing that thing, maybe it's time for a new thing. You know, it's time to listen to the Lord and move on to the next step. And don't hold on to things that keep you from telling others about Jesus Christ. Don't hold on to things if they're going to keep you from telling others about Jesus Christ. We're going to close this morning. It's a YouTube video. It's not professional or anything. And it's not something to sing along for. It's something just to meditate on. And the whole video, it's just an unprofessional guy from a different country whose English isn't always the greatest. You'll see it in the words. But he put this together based on 1 Corinthians 5:17. And that's a scripture that says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. As we look at new things, we need to remember that God wants the old things to go when He brings something new into our midst. And so whether God's going to tell you something new in your life that you need to do, whether He tells us as a body here at New Beginnings, or more importantly, Mike said the other week that this is the year of the Holy Spirit. More importantly, is God going to do something new in His church in this country, which I think we desperately need a new work of God? We don't want to miss the boat when He does that. I had to think of that a little bit. When Jesus talked about destroying the temple needed to be destroyed because the temple is now within us. We all understand that. But when the temple was destroyed, there were people that were coming to Jesus Christ. Even before that temple was literally destroyed, it was destroyed figuratively or spiritually, it was destroyed when Jesus came. There were people that understood and followed Jesus and gave their lives to Jesus Christ. But there still is a lot of Jewish people, even today, that are hanging on to that old temple and still going through the same rituals that they did thousands of years ago, and they're missing Jesus Christ. We don't want to be holding on to old things that are keeping God from working in new ways amongst us. So let's just close. Go ahead and play that video, and we can meditate on that as it's being played. See ya. Thank you.
throw it out the old ones and crafting something brand new. As God has told us.
Let's close in prayer. Father, we are so glad that you know more about our lives than we do. Help us to trust you, Father. Help us to be obedient like the disciples were. When you called them, they didn't hesitate, Father. They just stopped what they were doing and followed you. We want to live lives like that for you, Jesus. And so we ask that you would just use each of us this week to bring you honor and glory. In your name we pray, amen.